Joshua 21, we've got here the account of how the Levites were given places to live amongst the various tribes of Israel. Well, as you know, the Levites didn't actually have their own sort of tribal area to live in. And 1 Peter 2:5, we are a royal priesthood. We are all the equivalent of the Levites. We are not to leave ultimate spiritual responsibility for others in the hands of a few specialists within the body of Christ. We are the ones who are to take responsibility for this, who are to take responsibility for others. That is not to say that there is no teaching, particularly in the New Testament, about pastorship or eldership. But the point is that all the congregation are to be responsible for others and not resign it to others. And so the idea that they didn't have an inheritance in this life, that of course has huge implications for us, that we are not to look at, as it were, material prosperity, about the usual capitalist dream, which is to end your days and go to your grave planks having paid your mortgage for a property, and if you're real smart, even for a second property. That is about, in reality, the capitalist dream. But I quite accept that it often works out cheaper to, in the long term, to borrow money and buy a property and pay it off over the years than it does to just keep on renting. I accept that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't own property, not at all. But what I'm saying is that if that is your master passion, well, no, you're a Levite. And that is not for us. Well, the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites come to Eleazar in verse 1, because they just listened in the previous chapters, it's recorded, to all the descriptions of the cantons of the other tribes, and they'd have been deeply aware that they didn't have one. Well, let's just note in passing that the tribes do give them the cities for the Levites, or the towns for the Levites, but when you look at actually what towns were given them, they were up in the mountains, out in the desert. They were not very good areas. And a lot of those towns that they were supposed to give them, actually, they never bothered driving out the local inhabitants from. So in no way could the Levites have had those towns. Well, this was supposedly by lot, that a lot was cast. But it does seem to me that that was somehow biased, because clearly they did not grasp what David grasped when he says, I will not sacrifice to the Lord that which costs me nothing. And that is a fundamental principle that affects all our lives, that we are not to sacrifice, quote, sacrifice, that which costs me nothing. And that's what they were doing by giving the sort of most peripheral parts of their areas to the Levites. So, verse 5, it talks about having 10 cities out of the tribe of Ephraim, Dan and half-tribe of Manasseh. And elsewhere you read about a group of 5 cities being given to the priests. Well, this clearly is the basis for the Lord's parable in Luke 19, where he says that in the last day the faithful will be given 1 10 cities, 1 5 cities. The spiritually minded would immediately have thought, ah, yeah, that's like the Levites getting given 10 cities in this area, 5 cities in that area. The point is that each of the Levites, just as all the tribes of Israel, were given a specific inheritance. That was the idea. Although the land belonged to God, it was, as it were, on an eternal leasehold to the people. And so the language of inheritance that you meet in the New Testament, 1 Peter 1 is very clear, and the Lord's teaching in John 14 that he is going to prepare a place for us, a specific room in the Father's house, the idea is that we each have a specific inheritance. And that was the idea for all Israel, although it's not actually recorded anywhere. The implication, particularly when you come to the legislation about property at the year of Jubilee, The implication is pretty clear that each Israelite family had a unique geographical inheritance. And this points forward to the kingdom prepared for us, Matthew 25:34, from the foundation of the world. So the idea is not simply that we all get eternal life and that is it. We shall, by God's grace. But there is the idea of an eternal inheritance, of something unique for each of us. You remember how Jesus describes this in his letters, one of his letters to the churches, where he says that he will give us a name, and he'll give us a stone upon which is a name written that nobody knows apart from you. In other words, there will be something absolutely unique about the nature of your eternal existence in God's kingdom that is unique and known, perceived only between you and the Lord Jesus. And I find that so attractive, a wonderful idea that God is preparing for you and for me a tailor-made eternal experience, but not now. Because, as I say, the parable of Luke 19 talks about the faithful being given then in that day 10 cities or 5 cities. The idea is that we are the Levites now, but that means that we don't have our inheritance now. We are like Abraham and the Abraham family, having no continuing city here, passing through, strangers and pilgrims. Even if you were born in the same house that you lived in all your life and died in, all the same, you are on a journey. And this is not our resting place. We are moving. We are on a journey. And the ultimate stability, the ultimate inheritance will be eternal, and not in this life, but when Jesus comes. And it is being prepared for us. And through all the whole range of experience that you and I go through, that is to prepare us. Nothing is random, nothing is chance. It is all being worked through by God. It's a wonderful future that we have before us, and it is worth everything.